things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Championship Week of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
The Father and Son Podcast. You can figure out who's who.
Father and Son Podcast once again.
Yes, and we're back together, and great job on the solo venture.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I could not get the win for us.
You can't say it wasn't for effort, though.
Well, you were complimenting me on doing the podcast alone, but if I recall, like, a good chunk of that episode was talking about how this game was not going to go the same way as the last game against the Niners.
Well, I didn't know if you'd bring that up.
That part was definitely wrong.
Like, and, you know, I listened to it today. Finally got a chance to listen to your podcast, yeah. Solo podcast. And it's kind of weird to listen to it after you've seen the game.
Mm-hmm. All that unfounded optimism.
Well, didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. But mm-hmm. before we get going too far, I just want to mention that I am working with just a little bit of a cold, so if you hear me sniffle or cough, I apologize ahead. Hopefully it won't happen too often. So, yeah.
You just got back from vacation with the wifey.
It was very nice. It was we were fortunate to be able to take a cruise down in the Southern Caribbean. And one of those weird years, I was watching the weather before we left, and I watch a wind map, you know, and it shows you how fast the wind is moving in different areas. Mm-hmm. And for like a week or so before we left, I'm like, going, wow, it is moving down there. And sure enough, it didn't stop when we got down there. Mm-hmm. So we had quite a few bumps and bruises. There were people that broke some wrists and injured some ankles and stuff like that. But luckily,
hard to find your sea legs when there's a limitless drink package.
Actually, I think it helps.
Helps.
But since I'm rather rotund, I just bounce off things. I didn't hurt myself at all.
Good center of gravity, too, yes. I'm sure.
Well, I just got to do those little penguin steps, you know?
That's one thing I've noticed after losing weight living in Minnesota, and so we get, like, icy sidewalks or icy parking lots, all that. It's like, when I was bigger, I didn't slip as much. But when I did, a lot higher chance I was going down.
Going down
now
hard.
Now I slip a lot, but I can catch myself and balance. So,
you get to do those videos that people put up on Reddit, you know, they go whoop, 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 whoop.
Or like when you see people on the sidewalk where they kind of like trip and then they like try to play it off like, oh, I'm jogging, but then they don't want to jog, so then they're done. It's like, oh, I jogged those last five steps.
And then they look around to see if anybody's watching.
Yeah.
And I got to give props to Sean. He was kind enough to keep the driveway and the sidewalk shoveled.
I did a lot of shuffling and shoveling.
But it was a tough tough week and a half there that we had some nasty
weather.
You
picked a good chunk of time out of the calendar to go to the Bahamas.
We had a guy that was on our shuttle bus coming back from the airport, and he lives about 3 hours north of where we do, and did not get anybody to take care of the snow for him, and they had quite a bit more than we did. So it's going to be a lot of work by the time when he got home. So we got to get back to the game in hand. What was it? What was the score?
Do you really want to talk about
the game? We have to. That's a Packers podcast.
What was the score here? Let me pull it up. So it was, oh, this is just regular season.
Was it 37-20?
37-20.
I believe so.
Well, I was pulling up the stat sheet that we get from NFL.com, but the hardest thing I feel to always find on here is
the score. It was interesting because Sean mentioned on the previous podcast that we watched the Seattle game. They didn't really promote. They had multiple locations you could watch the game. You could watch it in your room, but, you know, it's not that much fun. You want to be around other people. And so the casino bar had it was a small bar, maybe 10 seats, maybe 12, mm-hmm. and three TVs in front of you. But we were the only Packer fans on. There was a lot of them that wore our jerseys.
Yeah.
And so we put them on, you know, probably about 2-3 hours before the game. We're walking around and people talking to us. But then we're watching the game and people wouldn't stop talking to us. Mm-hmm. We want to watch the game. So then the next game, this one we're going to talk about again, San Francisco, they had what they called Celebrity Central, which is kind of like a comedy club that maybe seat about 100 people, stadium seating. And there was less people, I think, in that seating area than there were at the casino bar. But it was great. You know, I think I sent you a picture of it.
Yeah, you were actually able to drill in.
Yes, yes, it was nice. Unfortunately, I didn't really want to drill in real quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean...
So it was 37-20. But.
Yeah, I talked a lot last week about this game won't start as ugly and be as ugly of a game overall, but didn't really seem to be the case because it started out pretty ugly and it stayed ugly throughout. We went into halftime 27-0. So, you know, you don't want to need a miracle to win the game at halftime.
I hear you, yeah. And it's not like they're just a pushover defense that you're going to be able to score on them. That made me feel, that taste in my mouth when we went at halftime 27-0 was about as bad as the steam table hamburgers they had available for us in the auditorium. So there's no way I was touching them. They've been sitting there for the previous game.
And it wasn't even that... you know, two powerhouse teams in the NFC Championship slugging away at each other. One of them just happens to be a little bit better, play better. It's that we got run over. We got run over. We got run through. We got run under. Like, whatever you want to say, it happened to us. Where Mostert, who, you know, he's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Adrian Peterson reincarnated. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be able to scheme to stop this guy. Had 220 yards on 29 attempts for 4 touchdowns. He averaged 7.6 yards per carry.
Oh, gosh, it just hurts.
Garoppolo threw 8 times total for 6 completions.
That is amazing.
Why throw the ball if you don't have to?
Exactly.
If you get a first down every time you run it, why stop running it? You know, it just, when their offense was on the field and our defense was, it was just a breakdown in every area. And that's what got us to this point in the season, 13-3, number 2 seed. It's that defense. And to see them just lose, like, every fundamental of football on defense and not even be able to scheme to, you know, stop the run and say, okay, you can pass it on us now. But we couldn't even do that.
I think every facet of our game was off. Offense, defense, special teams. The big thing that surprised me, again, we looked flat. We're one game away from the Super Bowl.
Came out very flat in the first half.
I don't get it at all. I know, is that the coach?
I don't know. It's hard because it's such a player-driven team this year. Even after this game, we've been hearing a lot about how, like, you know, this was Rodgers saying this was the first season it's been fun again, or like a lot of other players saying it's, you know, players had a lot of say in what goes on and they felt so invested and stuff. So it's weird that they would come out so flat like they did in the first half of that Lions game in week 17, where it's like they're not even the same team.
Right. And I looked at it, you know, we're down 27-0 at the half, and I'm chance of us being able to pull it out there, but at least make it competitive. Now, this is the last game you're going to be chewing on until next year.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't happen.
No, it was just, I don't know how much of this episode you want to talk about the game and how much you want to talk about the season. Because I don't have a ton to talk about this game that's pretty.
Well, let's just go through the game. Let's do it.
We got
to give it, give it its due. We don't have to dwell on everything. But
On the Packers offense side, Rodgers was 31 for 39, 326 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. Aaron Jones led the rushing, 12 attempts for 56 yards with a touchdown. That was our first touchdown of the game, right? The Aaron Jones touchdown?
Couldn't tell you. I had the drink package.
Oh, that's a good point. Usually you rewatch the game sober and you still can't tell me, so I don't know why I'm expecting you to be able to.
I got a great memory. It's just short. That's all.
Yeah. You have a great memory, but it's only good at the intake process. Adams had 11 targets, 9 receptions for 138 yards, 65 being the longest reception.
Wasn't most of his in the second half?
A lot of his were.
Okay.
But even in the first half, he was the only guy getting open is what it was. Like, I think on the first drive, he had a nice first down and then a couple plays. I mean, we didn't see much of anything else from other guys. Jimmy Graham had a big reception for 42 yards. Other than that, not much from him besides a couple dink and dunk plays. Aaron Jones had some receptions this game. He went 5 for 5 in the receiving game, but only 27 yards. One of those being for a touchdown. But, you know, just, I don't know, any area of the game, we did not get it going.
Yeah, I wanted to see, Don, I can't find this stuff as good as you can, but I wanted to see our punting. Didn't we shag a couple of them, too?
Punting average, we had 36.5, they had 38.5, but we did have, I can only think of one main one right before the half where it was off the side of his foot, and I'm like, did that go 20 yards even?
That one I
kind of
went definitely
out, kind of by like midfield, I think, yeah. That that was ugly. Yeah.
It's so much like the first game. So much. It was like we should just like take that podcast from the first San Francisco game and just say, okay, here you go, and then just put in there for the championship game every once in a while. For the championship game.
Yeah.
Because it'd be really close.
I mean, if you look at the numbers as far as just a lot of the, like, you know, main game statistics you would look at. Time of possession, close to even, we have a bit of a lead. Yardage, pretty much even. We had 4 yards more than them. First downs, we had 21. They had 19. So a lot of the, like, individual game stats, you look at that. But if you factor in that they ran the ball for almost a first down every time, there's no way we're winning.
Nope.
You can get all the yards you want. But, like, just look at how we got those first downs. We had to pass for 16 of them. Penalty got us one of them, and then 4 of them were rushing. Whereas of the 19 for the Niners, 3 of them came on us having penalties on our defense. 13 of them came by rushing, and then only 3 through the passing game. Typically, to get the first down, especially if you're on third down, you have to throw the ball. And I think it was their first touchdown was on, like, 3rd and long in the red zone, and they ran a quick counter, and he ran it in for a touchdown. It's like, even on third and long, it's like, why would they not hand off the ball here?
Exactly. It's and that's what they said, the announcers, during the game. It's like, typically you wouldn't run the ball, but they were just faster in so many facets of that game. And when you can run that efficiently, you're going to win.
Yeah. There's no way around it. Anyone who follows football to a degree would tell you if the other team can run for a first down every play, you're not going to win that game.
That's right.
Because
I want to say, hey, Daniel, good luck in the Super Bowl.
Congratulations, Daniel. With you and the family all leaving me for the playoffs, abandoning me in the cold.
Oh gosh.
I went to Daniel's since it's a big rivalry matchup. He, you know, grew up out San Jose, Washington area, and big 49ers fan. So it was fun to see his, especially because I think he was out of town, or for some reason when we played the Niners earlier this season, we couldn't get together for it because he wanted to come here to watch it with us as a family. So it was nice to get a second chance to do that. I just wish it had gone a little differently.
Sure, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him.
That's why I told him. I'm like, you know, obviously I want the Packers to win. I think I said this in like halfway through the third quarter, so you know how ugly it was that this is where my mindset was at. I told him, like, but if they're going to lose to anyone and any other team goes to the Super Bowl, I'm glad it's yours.
You know how,
just because I know how much that can mean to you as a fan.
Yeah.
To have a team go to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, it's a big thing. So.
I don't remember the last time they were there in the Super Bowl, do you? I know it's been a long
2012?
I don't mean it. 2008. Yeah, I don't think it was 12, but
2012. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
It was 12, really?
It was the Harbaughs against each other.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 12. I was going to say 2008, but that's not right because I would have just been starting high school, but I was in college in the dorm watching the game when the power went out. You remember the power went out? Mm-hmm. And so it must have been, I think it was 2012.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna fight you.
I wish we had this like thing we could type questions into and it just spat answers back at us. like especially if it was readily available at this moment.
You
that would
speak
be
into
nice.
A phone and say, "Hey."
But we're not one of those types of shows. We're not fact-checking ourselves. You have to either believe us or Google it yourself. So we're putting the onus on you as the listener.
All right, let's get through these stats.
Yeah. So that's kind of just as far as, you know, the main statistics. That's why it's hard to look at the in-game stats, because even the 37-20 score line, it was not that close.
Not at all.
I'd say a more realistic score of this game would have been 37-7 or 37-10.
Yeah.
It shows that this team has come a long ways. They've added a lot of key pieces in the last year, and 13-3, number two seed, great season coming off two losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows that they are still quite a big step away from being the powerhouse team that's going to win a Super Bowl. Because just look at the difference between us and the Niners. Yeah, there's a big difference in talent between those teams. There's a big difference in the culture and the coaching. Part of it, though, is it Shanahan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Shanahan?
Mm-hmm.
This is now his third year, I think, putting in that system and having that culture build on itself. So I think, you know, we'll see the same kind of thing from the Packers building within LaFleur's system and within that culture and understanding, you know, we have to go out there and take it.
I think that he, being an assistant coach for the Browns with Mike Pettine as the defensive coordinator, helped him scheme. And he's got some unknown dad who was able to help him scheme by the name of Mike Shanahan. So, it's all relative. You'll take as much advantage as you can. But, you know, I don't know. Are we pretty much done with the ugly stats for the game here?
Yeah, I don't know how much else you want to... Want to okay. dwell on it?
Of course, there's the reactionary people now are saying that we need to fire Pettine.
Yeah, I've seen that he's kind of on the hot seat. Just that the defense. I mean, they improved last year in his first year. They definitely improved this year in his second. So I don't know.
It's hard to know.
It's also hard to blow up the defense and bring in a new guy and have to have another year now of a first-year defense.
I think that's the reason why he'll be back. The biggest reason is because you are running down on years with Aaron, and so you don't have the luxury like the Patriots where the head coach is defensive coordinator, or even when he has one, he's still the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be back. And hopefully they can fill some holes on defense.
Yeah, and I think this team, you know, I think they're going to be hungry now. They've seen that what they can do when they come together, and that we've heard all season that they enjoy playing together as a team, that they have each other's backs in a way we haven't seen much from this team lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had Aaron Jones saying that he stayed out on the field after the loss just to kind of soak it in and realize, I don't want to be on the losing side of this ever again.
I want to see what it feels like to win. So
I think that kind of attitude shows you where this team is going to be in a year or two.
I hope so. It'd be nice to see it next year. But
And also having an off season of using free agency and filling, you know, star guys in key positions, that's not a 1 year thing. We're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We are past the Ted Thompson grow and develop era.
Right.
So it's not like, we got our guys and it didn't win us a Super Bowl. No, you know, we have another offseason now. We can improve the team, move forward.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that you've got a general manager that's also got a year under his belt, too. So we'll see. Well, the Packers finished 13-3. Don't believe, honestly, many people could say, oh, I had that figured out, you know. Packers were 13-3. I think a lot of teams thought the Vikings would be the ones with 13-3. And the cool part about it is no losses in the division. And now as a first-year coach, that is impressive as heck.
Yeah.
Heck, I tell you.
It's hard to beat any division rival. It's really hard to beat them twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with all of them.
6-0
in the division. 10-2 in the conference as a whole. 6-2 on the road. Just that number is pretty impressive.
I saw something, and forgive me, the numbers are going to be off, but it's like the Packers have this year had more wins than the Bears have had in 8 years and like 23 years for the Lions. Just this year.
You mean the last time they had that many?
In two wins, two playoff wins.
Oh, playoff wins. Yeah. I didn't hear that part. I thought you meant like total wins.
I didn't say it. but they, playoff, more playoff wins this year than the Bears in 8 and the Lions in 23.
Yeah. Someone at work was giving me a hard time about the Packers' loss today and, you know, that they're, you know, bad day to be a Packer fan, like all this. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, it's always nice to just at least be able to watch your team play in the championship. And so that conversation was done.
And then they just waddle away and leave you alone. But
but really, that it's true. Like, I didn't go into the season thinking, you know, this is a for sure Super Bowl team or for sure a playoff team.
Right.
So the fact that we came in and got extra games added on to our season, it's always a plus.
Yeah,
and as a football fan, you know, only one team can win it out of 32 every season.
That's right.
It's hard to do. There's, what is it, 6 teams have never even done it yet, so I think we just have to be appreciative of what we have as well.
Amen. And the Bears, you know, after that crazy season they had last year, they finish at 500 this year at 8-8, and Detroit was 3-12. So that's how they finished up in the division.
Do you draft a quarterback?
I'd say you'd keep it in there. You know, see if you got something that comes up. Because I don't know. I don't get the feeling that Rodgers wants to be like Brady and play until he's 45.
Yeah, he does. Typically, if that's what they want, they tell you.
Yeah.
He hasn't said that, no. So I don't think that's the case.
I think, didn't he say, like, 40? He wants to hit 40?
Did he? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. And if I was getting paid the way he was, I don't know how many incentives I would have to keep putting my head out there, my body out there on the line, having these 300-plus pound behemoths coming to take the head off my shoulders.
I was talking to somebody on the trip, and we were talking about the injuries, and, you know, when you retire, if you're smart, you know that you're not done with them. Your body's still going to break down. And it's really sad to see when they do the Hall of Fame game or the Hall of Fame announcements, and you see these Hall of Famers going into the stand behind the podium, and they got their 2 canes, they got walkers, crutches, people helping them to try and get up the steps, and it's like, and they're not that old.
That's how you get the mustard jacket, though. I started talking before I could think of what color that was. Mustard's the only thing I could think of. What would you? Is it gold? Is it supposed to be gold?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. It doesn't look gold.
Where did it go? Okay,
was it last year? I think with Brady, his wife Giselle came out and said something in a interview with the press, like, oh yeah, I mean, he gets concussions all the time.
Yeah,
we're
don't
dealing with
it
constantly.
Yeah, they don't report it.
Yeah. It's like, but that has to be the whole league. It's not just Brady.
Oh, sure.
That has to be everyone.
I was thinking, like, in the playoffs, how all of a sudden announcing injured players just becomes non-existent. You know, they might have one. All of a sudden they get healthy at the end of the year.
Daniel and I were pretending or, like, acting as if we had a stake in, you know, NFL revenue. Like, if we're Goodell or something, and every time a player gets injured, you're going, woo, another million from a commercial break. Because, you know, every time a guy goes down, they're like, we'll even keep them on the screen, but let's make sure you're buying some Gillette or something.
And we'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, they monetize the injuries. They monetize every. I mean, look at the Aaron Jones, the waving goodbye celebration earlier this season as he went in the end zone. Find him over $15,000 for that, and then they use it in all their promotional material.
Yep.
You should not be allowed to do that.
Well,
if
they
you fine a guy for it.
They got in a lot of trouble because they were when they started to say, "Hey, we got to be serious about these hits to the head and stuff like that." But they
hits.
Still put them in their
every
highlight
commercial
reels.
Trailers for games, things
right.
like that. Yeah, I mean. You see that in pretty much every sport. Like MMA, you know, they have all these rules and they stop fights early if a guy takes a nasty hit or something that could lead to an injury. They stop it because they don't want that to happen. But they still use that clip to promote the fights.
Man, that is a nasty sport.
It is.
It is.
But in a lot of ways, as far as head injuries go, they're finding that it's safer. Because you get hit too hard in the head in MMA, you got 4-ounce gloves, you're getting knocked out and you're done. Fight's over. you get hit how many times a year in the NFL? You have a helmet that doesn't let you get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
You keep hitting them, rattling your brain around. You have it how many times in practice? And you've been doing it since you were a kid, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or even boxing. You know, they talk about you can take so many more hits to the head because you're not getting knocked out.
Well, you also learn how to take the punch, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look at my nose. I'd never learned. Hey, let's go over the scores for the year quickly here. First game of the year was against the Bears. You said you forgot how close that game was.
I forgot how low scoring it was.
That's right. You're right.
And that's just where, like, you don't know anything week one.
Well, thanks for saying that to me.
Well, no. I mean, in general, we don't. Like, you don't know anything any week.
Hey.
But after week one, you don't know anything as a fan.
Right.
Or as even a scout from another NFL team. I think it's Belichick says, until you hit, is it October,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what a team looks like.
Right.
And so I just think, you know, yeah, we won that 10-3, but we didn't have any idea at that point how good the Packers were, how good the Bears were. So it's weird to go back and look at these scores.
So then our next game was on Mike's birthday, September 15th, and the Packers won at home mm-hmm. against the Vikings, 21-16. And boy, that just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
They put, you know, 2-0.
2-0. Then we went 3-0 by beating the Broncos, and then we lost against the Eagles.
We should have won that game.
It was a close game. We could have won it. We probably should have won it, mm-hmm. but, you know, we won 13 other games.
So that score was Packers 27, Eagles 34. We go to Dallas in a game that I was thinking after that Eagles loss, I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. how are we going to do? But we pulled it out 34-24, and it was nice to see Jerry crying on his knees.
Yeah. we beat the Lions, so we had
close game.
Week 6 for the first game, and then week 17 for the last. And I think we talked about after the week 17 game, 2 wins over the Lions this season,
mm-hmm.
and haven't led them for a single second of the game.
That hurts.
Like they have 120 minutes of leading us in the score this season.
Say that again.
120 minutes of either being tied or leading us in score this season.
That sounds better.
And yet their record is 0-2. It's almost like this game doesn't make sense.
23-22, we won on the 14th of October.
Yep. 42-24 for the Raiders, and then we beat the Chiefs.
This one really surprised me.
And it's cool, though, because now if they win the Super Bowl, we basically did.
We won the Super Bowl. Just call us Viking fans. That's how you think.
That is, we always joke about that being, living in Minnesota here, Viking fan logic. Like, you know, if they have a 6-10 season, we go 10-6, that'd be like, yeah, but you guys lost to the Chargers, and we beat the Chargers, so, you know.
You got to do what you got to do. So it's 31-24, Sean said, Packers over the Chiefs.
Then we lost to the Chargers.
Which we should not have. It's something about California this year.
I mean, going out west is always going to have a bigger home field advantage, but you also have to factor in that we always lay an egg against an inferior team every season.
Mm. I think most teams could say that.
Probably.
But there was this one team, they play up in Northeast, and they were playing against a team in the Southeast, the team that was vying for the first pick in the draft.
So I think you're being a little too subtle.
So
Patriots.
Their initials are N-E.
Okay, that's not helping anyone.
And the other lost team, they go,
losing week, the Seals?
How do you make a... Oh, that's pretty good. So by now, you know, it was Patriots losing to Miami, and that kicked them out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can lose any team, any given Sunday. They always say that. You can lose to any team.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Chargers have a lot of talent. It's hard to go out west. But that was also just one of those where there was no energy on the team.
Yeah,
same thing we saw first half in the second game against the Lions. Same thing we saw first half of this game against the Niners, that just weirdly no energy. And it's such a difference seeing these guys pumped up, getting each other pumped every week, and then just sometimes they're all dejected. They all look like they already lost.
So, you know, in looking at it, so we have this huge win against Kansas City, and we lay an egg against the Chargers, and then we had a huge win against Seattle and lay an egg against San Francisco. I'm talking in the playoffs.
Carolina.
No.
Oh, you're talking in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. So, and we win the Kansas City game.
Yeah.
And then we go out to L.A. and play the Chargers and look horrible. And now in the playoffs, we win. And that was a good game against Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then we just were flat. We can't sustain it for two games.
I wonder how the game would have gone if it was in Lambeau, though. Looking at, you know, the game we did, I don't think we would have won. But I think it would have been a different game.
Yeah, the crowd. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. I would think so.
I think we would have stopped a few more of their drives, made it, you know, at least had a chance at the end to win a game we didn't deserve.
Yeah.
Seahawks style.
So you. Yeah. So then on the 10th of November, we beat the Panthers 24-16. And then you talk about the next one.
Bye week.
No, the one after that.
Oh. Yeah. We went to San Fran, Packers 8, Niners 37. Hey, we're getting better. Wasn't it 20-37 this time? We might tie them next year. But yeah, that was just an ugly game. You know, we talked about that, where started out the game fumbling it, Rodgers did, on the goal line to give him a two-yard touchdown drive. And then it just went downhill from there. And yeah, I mean, we saw that we didn't have answers for their offense. Mm-hmm. They ran through the Vikings, and then they came and ran through the Packers.
Well, it seemed like a wake-up call, because then we ran off five wins and just set
ended
us up
the season
to
strong.
End the season. Yep.
Yep. Do you want to rattle through them?
Sure. We were at New York. Packers win 31-13.
Packers 20-15 over the Redskins.
And then on the 15th of December, it was the Packers over the Bears again, 21-13.
Then at Minnesota, Packers 23, Vikings 10.
Oh, man, that felt so good living in Viking land. And then end the season with another close game. Kick it, Packers win 23-20.
A lot of close games this season overall for the Lions. A lot of their losses were in the last minutes of a game. So, typical Detroit fan stuff.
Yeah, you think they might be turning it around. I'm trying to look up. There we go. I wanted to see who our free agents are for next year and get your full list. Here we go. Well, the first one that comes up is Mombaga, Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa.
Iowa.
Brian Bulaga will be 30. Becoming an unrestricted free agent. Let's see some of the other big names. I don't think Blake Martinez is coming back. I don't know about you.
Unless he's willing to take a hit. I mean, he'll make money. He'll maybe with another team, but he's just for us to get the speed we need. He's a great tackler. We need more speed.
He would be one of the best middle linebackers in the league in 1995.
19 what?
Yeah, mid 90s.
Yeah,
he's the AJ Hawk of this team. He's the reliable middle linebacker who's not going to wow you with athleticism, but he'll be where he has to be and know his role.
Well, so you think? Do they bring Bulaga back? You think?
It depends on the price tag. I think there's a better chance he doesn't come back than that he does, because they're happy with, you know, some of the younger guys on the line. I don't think Tremont Williams probably coming back unless he signs like a veteran minimum.
Yeah, he's 36.
Yep, he's kind of just been there to mentor the younger guys. I don't think Geronimo Allison's coming back.
Wait, boy, it just really surprised me.
He just fell off a cliff.
Yeah,
he had so much potential in this offense.
Contract year. How about we always tease Mason Crosby as the old guy, but he's 1 year younger than Aaron Rodgers, but he's a free agent.
Yeah, he's 35. I think he's coming back.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You don't lose consistent kickers if you can help it in this league.
And they've shown that they can play into their 40s. So.
Mercedes Lewis, I don't think comes back. Kyler Fackrell, I don't know. Will Redmond, I don't know. B.J. Goodson, maybe. Ibrahim Campbell, I think he was just on the one-year deal. I could see us signing him. I'm just not sure. Vitaly, I think with the amount of fullback stuff that we've seen LaFleur build into this offense, I could see him coming back.
I do too, yeah.
Jared Valdir, I think was just a stopgap. Needed a guy.
Worked out.
Worked out great, but yeah. I don't think we're bringing him back at 32.
We pulled him out of retirement, so he might want to go back after. But you never know. He might have caught the bug, too. So if he comes in with the right number, I could see him bring him back.
Yeah, and then Tyler Irvin at running back. I think we'll bring him back because he, you know, he was a big improvement returning kicks, but then also we saw him have a lot of those gadget roles in the offense mm-hmm. from LaFleur. So I mm-hmm. think we'll see him back. Ryan Grant at wide receiver, I'm not sure, but then Jason Spriggs on the offensive line, mm-hmm. I'm not sure either. What do you think of that one?
I just don't know. It's so hard to figure it out, you know, and you kind of get sentimental with some players that you want them to come back, but you're sentimental to the point that if you win the Super Bowl, you go, oh, they did a great job this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
going back to Danny Vitale at fullback, one thing that I enjoyed watching these last few games is, so we had so many plays where, you know, little wheel routes upfield or things like that mm-hmm. For Vitale, so it's kind of a safety net for Rodgers if his guys aren't open. You know, there's the fullback wheeling up the sideline. We saw a few passes to him this season where he just couldn't reel it in
right.
because he's not a wide receiver.
Right.
He also is wearing fullback pads. It's hard to catch anything above your sternum.
Mm-hmm.
But then these last couple games, I don't know if you noticed, LaFleur was putting Jay Sternberger in, the tight end, rookie tight end, at fullback, and then having him run routes out of the fullback position. And I could see us doing that more often. I also think Sternberger would probably be possibly, if not starting next year, be the starting tight end by the end of the next season.
Okay. Hey, before we move on, I know it's going to be a while till you hear me beg and plead for you to keep me in mind if you ever need any voiceover work, but I am begging and pleading, and I do sound better than this. I'm a little congested right now. I think I got an airplane cold or something like that. But the website, you can check it out. My name, Mike Reagan. It's voiceguynextdoor.com. Voiceguynextdoor.com. I got a company I'm going to be getting pretty quick here. They do irrigation systems for lawns, you know, sprinkler systems and stuff like that. And I do they change it up every year actually multiple times during the season, depending on where it is. And it's just voice on hold stuff. And then they also had me put together a piece for them when they went to like home shows and stuff like that. They have a video playing. And then I voice that for them. So it's just, there's so many different ways that I can help you get the word out for you. And professional job, I'll put it in any format that you need. And if I'm not the perfect guy for you, I'll try and find somebody that is. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com.
And you've done stuff for our company that I work for.
Yes, and that felt good. That's a great, great company.
Yeah. So, making the big bucks doing that that charity work for the nonprofit.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I appreciate helping you guys out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it turned out really well, though.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. You get to call the game ball.
I'm going to go with the season-wide game ball.
Oh, you're taking the easy way.
And I'm going Aaron Jones.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yep, I think he was the difference maker for this Packers offense all season. You know, they were off and on at different points. The defense had to bail him out. But Aaron Jones just played his heart out this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was at 19, probably ended the year 21 or 22 touchdowns.
I thought it was 23.
Okay, 23, including mm-hmm. the postseason.
I believe so.
Like, how many players can say they had 23 touchdowns in one season?
And he seems like a humble guy. You always liked him. You know, yeah. Just seems like a good dude. So I was thinking maybe LaFleur.
Luckily, for coming into his third or fourth season here, he was mm-hmm. pretty fresh since mm-hmm. McCarthy never used him.
Dig again. Hey, Mike. Thanks for listening.
But overall,
I thought LaFleur had a chance of getting the season-long game ball.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wanted it to go to a player.
Okay.
But it was, I mean, overall, a fun season to
yeah,
be a
it was.
Packer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what to expect, where we've had McCarthy for how long. It's not like other franchises in the NFL where you have that head coach turnover every year mm-hmm. to 2 years. We find a mic and we stick with them. But now we switched it up. We went with Matt because it was Mike Sherman, Mike.
Well, it was before Sherman, it was Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren, Mike Sherman, Mike McCarthy,
yep.
and now Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, like, we like those M's.
They didn't get the memo.
Like, they like the M. We had a guy meet us on the cruise, and he's like, so you're Mike? And then points and says, and you're Marsha? He goes, it's the M&Ms. And so he leaves, and he comes back, and he throws a packet of M&Ms at us, and he goes, just to remind you who you are. Okay, dude. All right.
Interesting.
So anything else you want to throw out there? We'll talk about next year? Or
Nothing too big. Let's do – so one thing we do have to do here. So I was up a game on you going into these picks last week. We both, you know, obviously took the Packers because they're the obvious favorite. And then, let's see, what was the other game? You took the Chiefs, and I took the Titans. Chiefs won, so we are tied. So, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Do you want to pick first?
Chiefs,
or do you want me to?
You go ahead. I'm probably just picking the other one, so you go ahead.
Yeah, that's why I was going to do the same thing. You have to.
Yeah. Since we're tied, and this is, you know, the last game to decide it on.
I'm going to go with the old coach. I'm going to pick Kansas City. I know they're the underdog going in. But
are they?
Yeah, but right now, I mean, it's going to vary as it gets closer, but I think it's like 2-3 points.
Okay. I'm predicting a tie. First ever Super Bowl tie.
It ain't going to happen, man.
Yeah, it's they're going to get to like the eighth overtime, and they're like, we have no one left.
All the players are done.
Yeah. Ball boy just ran for 100 yards. Like, we need to end this.
Okay, seriously. So you're going with San
Fran? Yeah, I'll take the Niners. Yeah.
I'm hoping for a good game, as you do every year.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll do it as a favor to Daniel. I'll pick the Niners.
Oh, there you go. Keep that friendship alive.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a post Super Bowl episode.
Yeah,
we won't.
Yeah, if we don't, we'll update the in the fan page on
Facebook. Yeah, join the Facebook page. Rate the show. Leave us a review. Share it with friends. We appreciate it. Obviously, you guys know it's a labor of love for us.
Yeah, you can tell all the
season.
Commercials.
Yeah. every season. So we just appreciate, you know, you guys helping us out by growing the show as much as you can.
Yeah, and just some loyal folks out there, appreciate it. I know we're a little bit different from a lot of the podcasts out there. They really like to get into the minutiae and stuff like that. And obviously, we don't have the resources to be able to do that.
We're not the experts. We're not here to, you know, tell you why everything happened and, you know, if this little scheme was up against this little scheme, this happened.
The X's
and O's. We're here to talk about football, you know, and the team we've been watching.
We're
going to
run a seam
life.
Up here. Yeah. And a seam up here.
So,
all right.
Close out the last season saying, I love you, Padre.
Hey,
and
I
appreciate
too,
doing this with you.
I do.
I'm glad we're Packer fans and I enjoyed the season.
All right. And this, again, Sean's of that age where he's never really had a bad string of teams.
Don't plan on it.
Yeah, I hope so.
We're finding all time QB number 3 after Rodgers, I hope you know.
Oh, super. Yeah. Super. Good to hear. All right. Until next time, go Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go.